what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And so the encouragement then Paul says, he says, listen, I haven't obtained all this, but he says, one thing I do. And in verse 13, he says, one thing I do, he says, forgetting what is behind and pressing on towards what is ahead. And I want to talk about that because I think that is a big issue for a lot of us. The whole idea of forgetting what is behind. Paul says, not only do I put no confidence in the flesh, he says, I want to press on. My goal is all about heavenward in Christ Jesus. My goal is what's in front of me, not what's behind me. But if you know a lot of people, and I think a lot of us struggle with this at times, we live in the past. The past sometimes can have a big impact in our lives. And unfortunately for some of us, the past is what defines us. The past is really who we are, and we continually at times relive the past. And we struggle to move forward. I've got one simple point this morning. One simple point this morning. No regrets. No regrets. You know, when Paul says, you know, forgetting what is behind, you know, what part of that does he mean? Does that mean you just forget you ever existed? Forget you had a bicycle? You know, forget those early childhood memories? You know, what is he talking about when he says forget? Well, I don't think he means we forget the good, obviously. Because there's things about my past, there are things about that happened in the past, which I love to think about. I really do. I love to think about. I love to think about the early years when I was married. Not that they're not. Anyway, forget that. That's going somewhere where it's not going to be pleasant. That's not a good place to start. I remember the early, the early years when the boys were born. I often reflect on Jared and Brandon when they were young boys. It was an awesome time. That's not to say, again, it's not awesome now, don't get me wrong. Because I love them now and I really appreciate them now. I love our relationship now. But I look back on those fond memories. And, I look at all of you, have you, you know, your young ones, Paloma, Marco. And, of course, I was corrected this morning that Marco and Paloma are not the youngest. Lydia. Is she? Is that right? Yeah, Lydia is the youngest. Well, so I don't know. No, she's not. Oh, forget it. I'm done. It doesn't matter anymore. They're all young. But I can imagine what they're going through. In the good and the bad, I guess, a little bit, because there are some challenging times as well. But it's a great moment. There are great times. I remember my early years as a disciple, what those times were like. When we first came here with the church, I remember those, so many good memories. Paul's not talking about forgetting those things. Because unfortunately, if you're anything like me, yes, I try to remember those things and they're good memories, but unfortunately, I all too remember the negative things that happened. The things that weren't pleasant. The times I was hurt. The times when I wondered what God was doing in my life. You know, I remember I met an old friend, an old school friend going back 30 years. It was a couple of years ago I met him. And he said to me, I don't know how we got in this conversation, but he said, you know, I have no regrets in life. I looked at him like, really? How do you do that? I'm not even sure I know how to do that. To have no regrets. I mean, like every decision, everything you ever did, you were like totally fine with. Well, I took my hat off to him. I thought, well, if that's true, then you're a better man than me, that's for sure. Because I know for me, I can struggle with having regrets. I can struggle with looking back about the things that happened to me. And it's very, very easy to do. You know, we often remember the things that people said to us. I always think this is very interesting. I can remember the hurtful things that were said to me so clearly. Isn't it funny? You remember exactly what was done to you. Exactly. To the T. To the word. And it could be 20, 30, 40. I won't go too much further than that. Years ago. And it's like it happened just yesterday. And you can replay it so clearly. But if someone comes up to you and shares with you a moment, maybe it wasn't too pleasant with them, something you said, you'll go, oh, I don't remember saying that, actually. Oh, I'm so sorry, because I have no recollection of that. And it's true. And it's true, because that's the way we are. That's the nature of who we are. That's the way we take these things on. And I think they're the things that we need to understand and forget. When Paul says, I forget what is behind and I press on towards what is ahead. You know, the Greek word, I'm not going to say it. I have to work out to get the Greek word so you can hear it, the way this guy says it. But basically, the Greek word means to given over to oblivion. Almost. It's like, you know, when you think of oblivion, what do you think of? I think oblivion is like it's destroyed. Like it just exists. It's pulverized. When I think oblivion, if you put something into oblivion, it's pulverized. It's nothing. You know, you're no longer caring for. And I know the interesting thing is some of the things that happen to us, and this is a challenging thing, because there are people in this room, I know some bad things happen. Some shocking things happen to people. Very painful. Very hurtful. And to simply say, just forget. Forgetting what is behind. How do you forget things like that? How do you deal with things that were so painful? Such painful memories, so much hurt. How do you do that? And is it almost insensitive just to say to someone, you know what? You just need to forget it. Just need to forget it. Forget it ever happened. Didn't exist. Put it to oblivion. What that person said or how they treated you. That's not easy. That's not easy. And it becomes very regrettable. You know, of course, the problem is, yes, it is difficult. But obviously the problem with living these things and reliving these things is it begins to make you bitter. And it does begin to shape you and define who you are. And I think all of us, to a degree, are shaped by the things that happen. And potentially will continually be shaped by the things that happen. And I don't have the list. You've got to figure it out. You know, growing up with an unloving, abusive father. I mean, some colleague, some friend that hurt you, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, whatever. We could go on and on and on about the list of things that cause us to look back and live out those things. Sometimes on a daily basis. I know one thing for sure, what Paul talks about is he says, you know what? He says, I want my mind and my body planted in the future. And what's ahead, not what's behind. Paul says we can't allow ourselves to be defined by the negative things that happened or allow ourselves to be dragged back into it. Let's look at a few ideas that I think can help us. You know, how do we forget or deal with the past? The past that's not good. The past that does tend to shape us or define us. Let's look at a few verses together. All right. We've got a few little sub-points here. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. You know, you'll often hear the saying, obviously, forgive and forget, right? Everyone's heard that. Forgive and forget. Easier said than done. My first little sub-point is simply not helpful. Simply not helpful. You know, we'll pick it up in verse 57 of Luke chapter 9. You know, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever I go," Jesus replied. "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place, nowhere to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." You know, verse 62, Jesus says, "No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." I used to translate this actually meaning, I used to think Jesus meant that, you know, he disqualifies you. So, I mean, you're not fit for service. It's like it comes from him. He disqualifies you. What I understand that to mean now is the fact that I think we disqualify ourselves more than he disqualifies us. And what I mean by that, he says, yeah, if you look back, you're not fit. It's not helpful. You know, you can't, I mean, it sounds kind of weird, obviously, but, you know, you can't drive a car forward by looking back. You have to look forward to go forward. And it's a simple thing, but that's the same for our lives as well. You know, to go forward, we have to look forward. If we're looking back, it's not helpful. It's simply not helpful. And it's as painful as it is. And I think, yes, and you may have to deal with these memories for the rest of your life. Absolutely. But still, we need to have a mindset that says, you know what? We can't look back. If we're going to put our hands on the plow, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, the challenge is we must look forward. Because it's simply not helpful. It's not helpful for you. It's not helpful for those around you. Because we've all got loved ones. We've all got people around us who need us. And it's not helpful if we're looking back. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And this may be one of the more challenging ones. In Romans chapter 8. And my second little sub-point here is good can come from it. Good can come from it. In verse 28, it just simply says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." It's just simply a great verse. "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him." This is always a challenging thing for me because, when I look back in my life and I think the things that happened, the things that people said, what transpired, everything, and even though I've landed on my feet, there were some very hurtful times in my life, some very confusing times in my life. Sometimes when I look back and I think, "God, what were you doing? God, why did you allow this to happen?" Everybody says that. At some point in your life, you're going to question God, why? You're going to say, why? Why? And you wonder why. And the Bible says that everything works for the good. That good can come from it. Somehow we have to turn around the things that happen to us. The things that cause us to look back and shape us in the wrong way and say, you know what? Good can come from this. Somehow. And we've heard these stories. There's many stories out there where people have gone through hardship and good comes out of it. If we understand that good can come out of it. Whatever your situation. Again, we're all in different stages of life. We've all gone through things that we question, we understand why. God's in everything. And some of it may seem unjust. And some of it may seem unfair. And some of it you may never understand. And I have to accept that in my life. I don't have to. I have to surrender myself to God and say to God, I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to know why. I just need to know that God can work through whatever is going on. And good can come out of it for his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Number three is in 1 Peter chapter 4. My third point, little sub-point, is forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Are you there? So I'm just going, take your time. I need to just go back over my notes a little bit here. Just give me a few more rustling of some pages there. You know, it says in 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 7, it says, the end of all things is near. It's not very encouraging, is it? There you go. Have a nice lunch. All the best to you. May the Lord keep you. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. You know, forgive yourself, firstly, and I put a little slash there and say, and others. But for me, forgiving yourself first, I think, is important. And I say that, and this may not always be true of everybody, but I say that because some of the issues that we have, we kind of blame ourselves. And the regret can come from the fact that somehow we could have done something to change it. We could have done something better. You know, and when I talk about regret, it's kind of funny. Again, I don't know how you deal with regret, but I can have, I'm talking to someone, and this is actually a wife kind of dobbing in her husband. We're on this topic of regret. She said, yeah, he'll walk away from a restaurant and have deep regret about the meal he ordered. You ever done that? You ever gone to a restaurant and regretted you went to that restaurant? All the time. The other day, and I know I kind of muck around with this, but the other day I went to McDonald's and I actually regretted it. Very rare, but I actually regretted going to McDonald's. But I think, you know, when it comes to this whole idea about, you know, forgiving yourself, he says love covers over a multitude of sins. And I think this is an important one for us because I deal with people all the time and the majority of our issues, and I've said this before, the majority of our issues are with other people. I'm telling you, 95% of your issues in life will be someone, some living individual. And you're going to wish you only the person who existed on this planet because half your problems, you wouldn't have any problems. Because most of your issues are with people. I can tell you now, most of my wife's issues are with, have a guess who? No. Actually, it's Jared. But, so much angst. And I want to tell you, Jared, please stand up for those who don't know Jared. No. There he is, he's standing there. He's having to take it on. But it's true. There are some times when I've gone away on a men's thing or go away for a few days, whatever, I know she's thankful I'm gone. Because she can do her thing, leave the lights on, keep the heating running for hour upon hour, you know. She knows she can do it. And I haven't figured out a way to remotely turn it off. And she's a happy camper. And I know it. I know I'm not the easiest person to live with it at times. At times. Where am I going with all this? I've got to forgive myself. The issues. But I say this sincerely, though, when I say the fact that I deal with a lot of people whose majority of issues are with people, whether past, present, or future. And this verse is there for a reason. Love covers over. It doesn't say one or two, three or four. It says a multitude of sins. Amen. And if we don't put this into practice, then it's going to drag us into the past. We're going to be dragged, continually dragged back into the things that happened. And we can't allow that to happen. We cannot allow that to happen because it begins to define us. Yep, you know what? We all hurt each other and we're terrible. We're arrogant, we're abusive, we're insensitive, we're unempathetic. I mean, I could go on. The list goes on and on and on. I'm that way with you, and I'm sorry if I am. I don't mean to do it. And I hope you forgive me when the times that I do. If I'm walking by you and I look like you don't exist. Because it's not that I have it. Sometimes my mind is just full with all sorts of things. It's not deliberate. And I hope there's a lot of forgiveness out there to say, you know, we need to think the best before we think the worst. But again, we're geared thinking the worst before we think the best. And hopefully if we just get simply that out of this, we can say, you know what? I'm wiping the slate clean. Everybody or anything that I feel like has ever hurt me or done anything or I'm feeling anything towards, love covers over a multitude of sins. If Jesus could die on the cross after being brutalized, spat on, beaten to his unrecognizable, and be hung there on a cross and say, Father, forgive them, for they do not do what they don't know what they do, then what right do we have to hold that back from anybody, whatever may have happened? And I know that's easier said than done, but that's why I'm not asking you to do it. Jesus is. I'm not asking you to do it. I'm with you, okay? I'm standing here. Let me tell you, I'm taking a step back. Okay, I'm with you. I know that's not easy. And I struggle to do the same thing. But my Lord, he says, that's what I need to do. And he showed me how to do it. And anything else? Anything else, then you're going to be living in the past. And you're going to carry that around for the rest of your life. And that's not something I want to do. That's not something I want to do. You know, I want to show a clip out of a movie. A little bit long, actually. But you all love movies. And the movie was made in 1986. And it's about some Jesuit priests who go into the hills of northeastern Argentina and the eastern Paraguayan jungle. And these guys try to convert these natives up there. And the movie's called The Mission. Probably haven't seen it. Some of you weren't even born in 1986, as Patrick told me. It's with Robert De Niro, Jeremy Irons, and a young Liam Neeson. And the scene is about this mercenary slaver who would go there and enslave some of these natives and take them to the plantations where they would work as slaves. Basically, the mercenary, who's played by Robert De Niro, ends up repenting, if you like, or getting converted, whatever. And it's a scene where he, obviously when he went up there, he had his armour and everything. It's a scene where he's dragging his armour. The reason why I want to show you this, because I think it's graphic to me about when we drag the past with us and the effects that it has. And I was going to pose a couple of questions before we watch it. And maybe I don't even need to pose these questions. I'll let you figure out what happens, and maybe we can just talk about that very quickly at the end. But hopefully this visual, because sometimes we need some visual stimulation, I understand that. Hopefully this visual will give you an idea of the effects it has when we're dragging the past with us as we try and go forward. Patrick, if you don't mind. By the way, just so you know, there's no dialogue. It's just simply music. And the truth is, you don't need any dialogue.
Yeah, how do you put it? Yeah, hang on. I'll get on it.
Yeah, give him a go. Go easy, guys.
Because I can't see you.
Thank you. Thanks, Patrick. And there was light. Well, I hope that did something for you. You know, obviously in the movie, it's penance for him. But obviously we don't need to do that. But unfortunately, at times we do that. We do that with the things that happen to us. And we drag them around. You know, the things when I wrote for myself is the effort it takes to drag something with you. And it does take a lot of effort. We don't realise that. And how it holds us back. The effects it has on others. And even though the Bible says we need to carry each other's burdens and in this way fulfill the law of Christ, nonetheless, it still affects others. The potential to take your life. There was that scene where he was hanging on the cliff and it almost dragged him back down the cliff and he was hanging on by one hand. It has the potential to do that. And of course, the freeing thing is the effects of cutting it free. The effects of cutting it free. And I think that's what happens in our lives. You know, Jesus came so we'd be free from these things, not to be enslaved by them again. So hopefully we can forget what is behind and press on towards what is ahead and what does wait for us. And remember, that's the thing we focus on, heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's all stand and sing and give glory to God. Amen.